Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have talk guests every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. Call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com. So search for call 17702. And remember to bring your Chrome browser or Brave or one of those Chromium knockoffs. And soon that will be coming to Edge. So it makes it even easier for you folks. And, of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall. At gmail.com. Also, you want to follow me on Twitter, just go to SFU On Call. That's my account there. And of course, I have a personal account. You can follow me there if you want to. That's Paul Franz, PaulFranz. And of course, this lovely talkcast gets turned to a podcast and available on various iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB. Steve Call is back from vacation and still recovering from that vacation. He hasn't really posted much on the BBS as of late, so all dark to me. But Patrick has been working on, of course, SFB updates and the Tholian Master Starship book. Also been patiently waiting for people to finish signing up for Starfire 2 tournament, and I'll get back to that in a bit. Gene was busy working on the GURPS Klingon book, and of course he's been managing Facebook and Shapeways and of course the Twitter feed. And just a reminder, Gene got engaged. And the dirty detail is it's a guy named Al Bedow, B-E-D-D-O-W. So I think that's Bedow or Bedow. And again, congrats, Jeans, for getting engaged. I'm sure you will. I know currently you guys are kind of far apart, but it's still be interesting when he moves into town. Moving onward and forward to the SFB Online tournaments or tournament, Sapphire Star Tournament number 2. We have 10 signups so far. We only need six more people. Come on, sign it up. I know it's gonna go along, Christmas, probably the Christmas holiday. Definitely at this point it's gonna go over the turkey season. But sign up. How long will it take you? Take an hour or two? Actually an hour or two. It takes probably 3 hours to get through a game, possibly sooner if you get killed really quick. Or hey, you can win really quick. That's possible too. And moving on to the library report, not much happening there this week. Complete conversion is still stuck at 2,519, with yet to be converted to be 811, with a percent complete being 75.65%. And with that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one, the only, Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, it's just me and just Dave. I actually really quickly and rightly did a quick and there. Yep. The quick thing to check to see if Barry's going to be here tonight. And he said, no. Yeah. Dave, Houston 4, Tampa 1. Yeah, I've been watching the game until this point. And I was hoping to watch him all the way, but unfortunately, I have to do my podcast, and I can't watch the game and do my podcast at the same time. So, it is what it is. Um, I'm hoping that... No, I'm probably watching a previous one. Don't mind me. Hi. Patriots 14, Giants 7. Yeah, that is interesting. And big surprise, the Patriots are winning. But, okay, tonight what we're going to be doing... let me go live. Okay, I'm good. Don't mind me. I was just turning off the sound on the iPad, which I got right over there. But I'm hopefully paying attention to you. But anyway, yeah. So tonight, actually, I called up a text Barry and said, "Hey, can you be coming?" He's like, he said, "No." He said, "Oh, I totally forgot." Yeah, I wanted to make sure that I could at least plan at least a few hours ahead. I did, I got this. Yes, great. Russ, I'm glad you joined us this evening. I was actually hoping to read through at least the story for Capital Log number 53. Note to self, actually look to see how long the story is before you attempt to read it. Because I said, usually it's not maybe 10 pages long, not too deep. I could probably get through it, spending like 2 hours. Yes, I'm a very slow reader. But overall, I started reading, it's a good story. And then I realized, okay, how long is this? Flip, 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 flip. Look it all up, and it's like over 20 pages long. It's like, okay, this is a small novel, at least for me. This is not the normal short story. This is a short novel. They could probably package it up and sell it on Amazon, as an ebook, and they'd be fine. So, I like the story. The funny part is, okay, I start reading the story, and I'm reading the beginning of the story. I'm just reading this and going, you know what this sounds like? This sounds like a story written, practically written, for to a certain degree. There's a lot more interest, a lot more going on in this story, but. It kind of ties right in my mind, ties right into Merchants of the Federation. Because the story is written in that time frame where you have the Organians, the Klingons had the treaty with the Federation. And after the treaty with the Federation, what they did at that point was... they decided, the Organians enforced came up with this treaty, and of course enforced it, using their superpowers. and that's where it starts, and of course where are we going? We're going to a farming world. Well, that's kind of what you do in the Merchants of the Federation, is that the idea is you colonize different planets, different systems in the neutral zone, and try to have the most money before the Klingons decide that this neutral zone thing isn't working out so well for us, so we're going to attack, at that point. So... This is before the attack. Now I did not get to the end of it, and I'm sorry. I'm not one of those people who likes to read the end of the book and then go back and read, figure out, how did they get there, So, as if you on calzone. Oy. Funny. So that's what I'm saying. The story seems to be just set up for the merchants of the Federation just to tie in right into that game. Now, also, this catalog is pretty large. So I'm going to get through some of it. I'm going to go through some of it. And what, obviously, I'm not going to do a full review of it because, obviously, I have to read through it all. And I'm not that fast of a reader. But I figured I at least to give you my impressions on the capsule number 53, you know, things that I found that I thought were kind of interesting, things that I found that were like, pass. Obviously, if you like Starfleet battles and the Starfleet Universe Federation Commander, all that stuff, you should get a copy of the Captain's Log. Just because of their great stories overall, you know, in this case, the one thing that's our dear friend, our dear friend Gary Carney, is he does a whole section on the update for the Aurora Republic. And that what they're talking about is, of course, the FRA. I'll just read the beginning part here. I'm not going to read through the whole thing, but because it's quite interesting about it. But it says, the current set of rules and SSDs offered by the Federal Republic of Aurora are in, you know, the Starfleet Battles Module Omega 3 and Module Omega 5. This update is intended to provide material that may aid players in fleshing out the range of military and civilian units available to the Federal Republic in more detail. It also will also data on how the Auroran Navy and Marine forces are organized and provide a clearer view of the Federal Republic's technology, logistical, and political evolution. Anyway, all this material may itself be updated or replaced entirely if and when time comes for this update or indeed a new range of Federal Republic of Aurora SSD to be formally published in new Starfleet Battles Omega modules. So it's a nice update. It is what Gary Carney does best. Gary Carney does best is history. SSB history, Starfleet Universe history. In this case is the Omega Octant. And as you and I know, Gary, especially if you've been on this podcast, listen to it long enough, Gary really likes the Omega Octant and those ships and the history of it and so forth. That is his, I agree, Dave. Dave mentioned how another Omega module would be great, and I agree that having another Omega module would be fantastic. When it comes to the Aurora Republic, I think that I have not had a chance to read it. I really want to read this. I haven't had a chance. And again, as I said, I'm a very slow reader. But, if you're in Federation Command, play FedCom or FC. I call it FedCom because FC, I just don't like. SFB kind of flows. FC doesn't. That's why I call it FedCom. If you really like FedCom, get the playtest material for the Omegas and play it. Because I think it's really interesting. Obviously, if you've ever played SFB and played the Omega Octant Empires, definitely get the FedCom playtest rules because of definitely they need playtest reports back on that material so that it can actually become an official part of the Federation Commander rule set or module. Now, that reminds me. That's one thing that they did do is they were announcing some of the things that they were going to be working on. I won't flip back to there because I think I will just lose my place in the caps log. But Fighters Attack, which is Fighters Attack is going to be a Borders of Madness series, one of the Borders of Madness books, i.e. it's for those SFB players who want to play fighters in the FedCom rule set. And I still don't see how that's going to work, but that's the way it's set up. Now also Gunships Attack. It's not Gunships. Gunboats Attack. They're working through that. Larry, one thing they mentioned that after Mike West proposed and it was agreed upon that gunboats would have 6 warp and that the movement cost would be 1/8. So they're going to move forward with that. Also, they're working on X-Ships for FedCom. And actually, they have the playtest. I'm going to say playtest at the moment because of it's not official, but it's there for people to play with when it comes to FedCom rules. For example, things like in FedCom, it have it so that you can, any Phaser 1, this little X-Ship can fire as 2 Phaser 3s on the same impulse if it's in defensive mode, and if it's an offensive mode, you only can fire once, but you can still fire its 2 Phaser 3s. The photons, I've read, it's like, you gotta be kidding me. The photons are still poor. The thing is, here's the weird thing. When it comes to X rules, it seems like to me that the photons become worse off because of, you can fire, the rule is for photons, for X ships, is that you can fire a photon every single turn using 4 points of power, i.e. standard only. You can't fire overloaded. Which, it's 8 points of damage, but you have worse to hit. Now, then there's the Klingon disruptors. Klingon disruptors, you can now hold you can fire it, but also you can hold the disruptor from the previous round if you didn't fire it. So that's like, okay. So you. And if you have it overloaded, you can hold it for 2 points of energy. So it's almost like the Satorian particle cannon when it comes to energy. Because if you put 4 points of energy into a disruptor, that's an overloaded disruptor, you can kind of hold the energy as it makes the next turn the disruptor for the next turn cheaper by you can hold it for 2 points of power, and if you, so that just makes it kind of like to a rough degree the Saltorian particle cannon, where you do the same thing, but of course the great thing about the Saltorian particle cannon is that that's an actual capacitor, so you can fire it more than one time. You can't do that with disruptors. But definitely that saves energy for the Klingons or whoever has a disruptor, in that they can if they don't use it for that turn, unlike the current, a non-X ships, they can actually hold the disruptors instead of having to discharge those disruptors, or basically discharge them at the end of the turn because you're not use them. Now, of course, this is FedCom. FedCom, you never had to do that to begin with. FedCom disruptors were fired on an as-needed basis. So, to me, that makes things kind of weird for FedCom, in that, in FedCom now, for disruptors, for disruptors, now what happens is that you can actually charge them at the beginning of the turn. Or you can charge them near the end of the turn and then hold them for the next turn, because it gets kind of wonky in my mind, because of previously the disruptors and Federation Commander, okay, whenever you wanted to fire them, you just use the energy from the batteries, well, not batteries, but the unused energy that were available and fire it. You know? Well, Federation Commander, obviously, for multi-turn army weapons, i.e., photons, hellbores, things like that, those actually had required required planning and therefore kind of energy allocation form. Simplified, but still energy allocation form, because it's multi-turn arming weapon, it requires planning. Now, another thing that I've mentioned in the FedCom X-Ships playtest is that fusion beams now no longer have a cooldown period, so they can be fired every single turn. The Hydrans, they can fire I can't remember if it said that for the Hellbores, whether it was, I know you can fire it every single turn. And yeah, and I think you can hold it for like 2 points. I think that's right. But again, you're converting what was a multi-turn. That's a multi-turn arming weapon. It's not a single-turn arming weapon, which you made into a weapon that has a hull capability. Which again is weird, because it's like the fusions in SFB, that the fusions actually are allocated in energy allocation. Then you have a cooldown period when you fire them, but when you have charged them, you then can hold them for a lower cost. Now, to be honest, I don't remember in FedCom if that happens the same way. But always, to me, single-turn army weapons in FedCom are pretty much single-turn army weapons. You fire them when you need to fire them. And that's it. There's no charging them in energy allocation. So, kind of weird. But that, you know, that's one of the things that was in the cabin's log. Another thing that was in the cabin's log is actually yours truly. Actually, there's multiple places where yours truly is. Some of it is kind of, you know, that's because I've been helping out so long, you know, different awards, different medals for, you know, meritorious service, you know, for doing things I've been doing for so long, basically. And that's fine. You know, of course, there's also the any person who actually points out the spam on the BBS, you know, you have your spam hunters, and I'm listed there. That happened to me once. I got a couple of times. I noticed it a couple of times, so I'm on the list. And then, of course, there's different articles that I've written, and also one which I totally forgot about. which was, I actually posted a question in the discussion board about the Andromedans. And that's actually now, that's in the captain's log. So if you want to read what my question is, read it there. And actually someone else asked a question about Andromedans and degradation, which I never thought of in this, my crazy head. I guess the problem was I don't have that crazy enough thinking. And that is about degradation. Can you still have degradation on a paddle that's fully degraded? And basically, Steve Petrick said, overall, no, you can't. Now, the interesting answer actually became afterwards. There was a follow-up question where basically, if you're stuck at the standard level and you're basically, you have to put more degradation than the standard level can be at, do you still allocate that point of degradation against that panel? And the answer is yes. So that was one of those things that I never thought about. Of course, I'm looking at an old one. Sorry, I was checking out the Twitch. To me, that was interesting. I never thought about that. Yeah, there have been situations where I've actually done something which you sell is very unlikely. It's like, you haven't played enough. That can actually happen. I.e., you get into a situation where you basically have not enough battery power left to reinforce your panels. I've actually had that happen to me. Is that a good thing? No, it's not a good thing. So, hold on. Okay. Okay, now I'm good. Sorry. Just wanted to make sure I had it up over there and actually watching people live. I apologize for the interruption. But I want to make sure people on Twitch know that I'm there and actually can read anything that they post there. Previously I didn't. Sorry for anyone who's got there early and I wasn't paying attention to him. I apologize. So I thought that was quite interesting about that ruling. And also I got a chance to actually to read the Platinum Hat write up, from Bill Scheller. And to me, what was interesting was the one against Peter Bakiya, which Peter Bakiya and Bill Scheller, that's a great game. Those two are really good opponents. They've known each other for years. They've played against each other multiple times, and it's obvious if you read the article that Bill is very familiar with Peter's tactics. How Peter usually begins the game. He says, I was waiting for Peter to do a corner dodge, and that's exactly what he did. But he came back in a little bit sooner than he had expected. So that was kind of an unexpected thing. But what in the end run, when it comes to that game and how it ended, what it ended was when Peter decided to do an all-out approach, which is, he already used his het bonus. So he then tried to do a second het. Well, what happened when he did the second het? He failed. At that point, he conceded. So, you know, I'm assuming since Peter Bakiya is really smart, he basically said, okay, if I hit now, I can beat him. If I don't, I'm going to lose. Because in my mind, if you are going to go, you know, take that chance, the only answer has to be, okay, if I don't do this, I'm going to lose. If you do it for anything other than you're going to lose, you know, it's going to take too long. That's not the answer. That's not a good reason for taking a real risky move. You know, obviously you got a 2/3 chance of actually succeeding because he's filing his NT. It's a 5-6 breakdown. But the odds are with you, but not that much with you. You have a 1/3 chance of dying, and well, he got the 1/3 chance. So, you know, that was a good one. There's a funny article here, and the title is "Steve Cole is Alive," as has been mentioned elsewhere and in social media. The company president and chief game designer Steve B. Cole has suffered from ill health since Capitoloid number 52. Even before that, basically saying Steve is doing fine. It looks like Steve gave everyone a quick update on his medical, you know, issues. I'm not sure how many of you have been following Steve Cole, what he does, and already paying attention to the news portion of this podcast, because obviously if you're just watching the video portion, I don't do the news portion as part of the video. If you really want me to do that and you're watching the videos, please post something and say, can you do another, maybe just have an additional quick video, which I can add on to the beginning of this video like I do for the audio portion, or obviously I can make it available as a separate video. Now, just like this one, it might not be the most exciting thing to watch. Most of it might just be you watching this face. If I do a video of the news portion, I would probably, in some cases, maybe add a little more effects to the video. You know, maybe bring up some images, some web pages, if possible, of when I'm referencing certain things. You know, I could definitely do that. Some of the stuff would be kind of boring for those on the video. I give an update for like the SAP Online library report, which is the conversion stuff, which I know some people truly, truly, truly hate that we're being forced to do convert. They like the actual original design. And I understand that, but I have no choice. You know, and actually, as I think I mentioned a few months ago, when Ted Fay brought up, say, you know, I'd be willing to pay more, but to have the original SSDs. And basically, Steve Cole said, not over his dead body. I was going to say that can be arranged, but I think that'd be poor taste. But yeah. So that's not going to happen. If there's somebody a while ago came up with a really neat idea, and I was thinking about it and implementing it the other, you know, like a couple months ago, and it's been like 6 months since the guy gave a suggestion. I just don't know how to implement it, and that is The one interesting idea that someone had about those third-gen ship definitions, and that is, instead of doing the shields the way it's currently being done, have them as arcs. So you'd actually have an arc, and it would show the shield strength based for that arc. So you wouldn't have the boxes, you'd have shown as an arc. Now, the only question I have for that would be, on that arc, would it be more like a speedometer kind of reading when it comes to the amount of shield available? Because I think that would be bad to a certain degree. I like the idea of having the kind of progress bar approach, because if anyone's looked at the third gen or played the third gen, that's kind of the approach I do. I have a progress bar, but in the middle of it, I have the account, how many boxes this box represents. So, I think that, you know, that works quite well. And I was hoping that people would buy into it. Obviously, some people haven't, and some people have left because of that. I can't do anything about it. And I'm sorry, but that it is what it is. You know, if there's anything that I can do to improve it, you know, you got ideas about how to improve the way the SSDs look, please send your thoughts my way. But, you know, obviously we have my when it comes to Cabin Slog 53, you know, I've got my articles in here, the standard articles, including, you know, Galactic Conquest. They have their article in here, Prime Directive, and even Star Motto, which is, I need to read this one. Because there's two things that they have in here which is interesting, which is one, the PA power absorbers, and the other one's displacement device. They have a playtest rules in here. So I need to look at that. I just noticed that sitting here. And I think that'll be interesting because of, I'm sure you guys have heard me talk about it before, but I really like Starmada. I have to double check on the Unity edition. I got introduced way back in the Admiralty edition. And I think it was the Admiralty. Yeah. There was good things and bad things about that, the first version that was done. The bad things were that I truly felt that the drones were done wrong, that the shields were done poorly. I think later on when they changed it to be just completely abstract in the shield. So you just had a shield factor on the ship instead of trying to do the whole, shields, you know, facing and all that. Because I think with Star Armada, I don't think it matters, you know, overall, because it's been abstracted out that much. But when it comes to the thing is, you abstracted out the seeking weapons, because the seeking weapons are, I think in my mind, it's an integral portion of SSB in that. It's needed for, it's supposed to be basically a mobile terrain is one of the things that a seeking weapon actually is. And I know I helped Daniel Cast fix the issue with the tractor beams when originally he was going to produce, you know, he was the latest version, he, you know, put as part of the beta test, you know, said, oh, this is a tractor beam. So I looked at him like, Dave, this makes no sense. Because the way tractor beams work, and I'm sure you've heard me mention it before, that I did this, but I'll bring it up anyway. And that is tractor beams, you know, the way they're used in two different ways. One, the whole idea is that they're going to stop your opponent from leaving the map. Well, either that or help your another ship to leave the map. You know, those are the two basic things. And obviously, in SFB context, you also use tractor beams to have it so that the person can't lose wild weasel. But of course, in Star Model, there is no such thing as a wild weasel. It's just like in FedCom, there is no wild weasel. And overall, I think that's a good thing, you know. But that is me. I think most people agree. What was it? Mike, I forget his last name. It's been a while since we judged together at Origins. But he basically said that FedCom really encapsulates the whole idea of speed is life when it comes to the game. Because of, unlike SFB, FedCom, when you stop, there is no benefit for stopping, short of making sure you don't close the gap too great. The only benefit for, I mean, a full stop is the ability to change the direction of the shields. You get absolutely zero benefit when it comes to energy usage. Yes, you have more energy available, but it's not like an SFB where you can take that energy and put it into reinforcement and just kind of bunker down kind of idea. And Lord knows, I'm pretty sure that's one of those rules. I don't think that's one of those rules you actually could do for SFB. I know that Steve Cole wanted to add the rule when it comes to the whole idea of killing the Kaufman retrograde, which is take the cost for reverse and double it. Because that's one thing in FedCom you have, is that in FedCom, if you go in reverse, costs you twice as much energy than going forward. And overall, to me, it's basically, it's a penalty, is what is the whole idea. Because if you think about it, generating a warp bubble, because that's what you're doing, the techno babble says, it shouldn't cost you any more energy to create a warp bubble, which allows you to go backwards. It just means having your generators, you know, because I'm assuming it's like a ripple. That's how you move, is like a ripple. In the warp field, to that actually is how you move, and just reversing it shouldn't cost you any more energy to reverse it, you know. So, but that is what it is. So overall, I think the Capstone 53 is nice. Obviously, if you are into the Starfleet universe, you definitely should grab yourself a copy. The story, I've not read it fully, so I can't say whether, you know, two thumbs up and so forth. I will endeavor to finish reading it this weekend, so I will definitely give you a review of the story in its entirety. Does it hold together? How's the storyline overall? Obviously, we're at the very, I only got to read the very beginning part of the story. The very beginning part of the story is the setup. There's still figuring things out. You know, first we have, of course, we have a soldier who is part of a National Guard unit, but not really working well in that National Guard unit. He's not really moving forward in that National Guard unit. So her commander recommends that she go on to be part of the Space Marines, you know, for the Federation. And he totally wanted one thing, you have to agree to it. It's like, this is okay with you. It's like, she said, yeah, it's okay with me. So she goes off, and then, of course, you have, in this case, you have on the other, this is where the camera kind of switches. You know, you have the, go on to the next scene, which is, in this case, a newly minted Klingon lieutenant who is given a mission. And that right there is where I stopped, because I didn't have time enough, just because it's a long story and I'm a slow reader, you know. So hopefully I can get through the story this weekend. I should have enough time on Saturday. Yeah, Saturday I think I should have enough time. But we'll just have to wait and see. And hopefully by next Thursday, at the very least, I can give you a quick story review, whether it's thumbs up, thumbs down. If there's any big issues, I will try to not to have any spoilers so that you can read it and still enjoy it, you know, by yourself. Because I know, and trust me, I suck at telling stories. Of reading a book and then giving a detailed how the story went. I'm one of those people who read something and I can give you an overall arc of what it is, a generalization of what the story was about. I can't give you details of, okay, this guy did this, blah, 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 and go through the whole thing. Don't ask me to do that because I can't do it. The Lord knows I drive my wife crazy about that sometimes, because she wants details. Okay, what did that person do? What did they say? And it's like, I don't know. I don't remember. I just remembered they said something about going to Boston. You know? So, that's just me, you know. I'm sure you've got one of those people in your life where they really can't give you the exact details you want to know, you know, and drives you crazy. So I don't think there's anything. I have anything else for this. I have nothing else lined up for tonight. So I'm going to just end this podcast a little early tonight. I hope that you have a wonderful weekend. And with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.